Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman, as the announcer just told you. And joining me in studios, Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning to you, Tim.
We hope everybody had a nice weekend. Got a lot to talk about, obviously, that's happening in our country and in our world. But we did have football. I know, raise your hand. I know nobody did, but I stayed up for the end of the Bills, the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens.
I did not, but you were talking about it this morning at lunch today. I'm going to watch the highlights because it sounded like an amazing.
Well, there's probably a moral to the story. that is, the Baltimore Ravens led the whole game until the last play of the game.
There is a moral.
Yeah, is that don't give up, or there's no justice in the world?
Race. It doesn't matter how well you run it unless you finish the race.
Finish the race. That's a good moral to that story. Anyway, as people know, I enjoy watching football, and so I'll watch anybody play almost. But that game was incredible, and
you were talking about how. Yeah. Several times you almost said, well, I'm going to bed.
I don't know. If you're a sports fan and you're watching a game and the game appears to be over and you don't really care, I mean, so it's over. By that, I mean one team is clearly going to win.
Right.
Okay, so there's no more drama, no more suspense, no more let's see how this thing ends. So I was like 5 seconds away from clicking the TV off. And I said, no, I'll watch.
Because neither of these teams were yours.
Right. I didn't care who won.
You didn't have a dog in the
Steve
fight.
Tiber from 8 Days of Hope. He is an idol worshiper of the Buffalo Bills, and he needs prayer for that.
That accusation is a two-edged sword, Tim.
Well,
let's just talk about Mississippi State.
Well, they won a game at the end of the regulation. Anyway, if you like college football and pro football, it was a fun weekend.
You know what I like about football season is it goes hand in hand with fall.
Yeah. Yeah. And so relief from the heat.
Relief from the heat. And can I do a little segue here? Because we have our fall Share-a-thon coming up next
month. Yes, we do, Ed. And what do we need from our listeners?
Well, we need listener stories. So we're gathering stories now to play during our fall Share-a-thon, which I think is October 8, 9, and 10. 7, 8, 9. Okay. 7, 8, 9. So I had that.
October, like a month from now?
October. Yep. Okay. And so here's the question we ask our listeners. Has the Lord used American Family Radio in your life? Have we been there or given the right thought at just the right time? If that's true, please share your story. We'd like to hear your AFR story. It certainly encourages us who are regularly on the air, but it could be a blessing and an encouragement to others. Tell us how Jesus Christ has used AFR in your life. So we are asking you to call and share for a minute or two. We can't air your whole life story, okay? So that's the kind of firm part. It's got to be a minute or two, and you might hear yourself during Share-a-thon. Our listener story line, the number to call, is this. Get a paper and pen. 877-876-8893. That's 877-876-8893 is the number to call for our listener storyline. Again, remember a minute or two how the Lord has used AFR in your life, and we will
I would ask people, please do this. If AFR has made a difference in your spiritual life, or whatever you want to say about it, we love hearing those testimonies.
Yes.
And playing those. So all you need to do is say, hey, this is Joe from, from Macon, Georgia. And I just want to say AFR has, and then tell the brief story. That's the kind of stuff we're looking for, right?
Right.
Okay, what's the phone number to? And so you call this phone number, you just leave that message, true?
Yes.
Okay, what's the phone number?
There'll be, I'm sure, a little probably brief explanation.
Yeah.
Here's the number to call, 877-876-8893. 877-876-8893 is our listener storyline. Call and share for a minute or two, and you might hear yourself during Share-a-thon.
Okay, Fred.
All right. Well, one of the reasons people listen to American Family Radio, and we hear it on those testimonies that you're talking about all the time, is that they get news that the other mainstream media do not want to deal with. And we give priority to what we believe is important news for our Christian audience. I say all that to lead into a story that hasn't been getting much coverage, but it is important to us. You might remember back in 2012, Democratic Convention in Tampa, Florida. There was a debate on the floor whether to include God in their party constitution. Ed, you remember how that went?
Yeah, the delegates booed the idea.
Of putting God.
Of putting, mentioning God in the, it was the platform, I think.
Platform,
yes. Platform discussion.
All right. Move forward to this year, 2025. What, 13 years?
All
right. What you may not have heard, there was an interesting exchange last week. The scene was a committee, a Senate committee, dealing with the confirmation of a Riley Barnes, a former U.S. State Department official who has been nominated to serve as Assistant Secretary of State for Democracy, Human Rights, and Labor. During Barnes' presentation, he quoted Secretary of State Marco Rubio that emphasized the U.S. was founded on the principle that all men are created equal because our rights come from God, our Creator, not from our laws, not from our governments, end quote. Tim Kaine, Democrat Senator Tim Kaine from Virginia. Former governor is part of that committee. He was very upset that Mr. Barnes quoted Senator Marco Rubio as saying our rights, our laws, come from God. What you're going to hear is Senator Tim Kaine expressing his concern that people who say about our rights come from God. And then you're going to hear the response from Senator Ted Cruz, who also sits on that committee.
Mr. Barnes, I was struck by your opening comments, and I asked to get a copy of them so I could read them and make sure I quoted them correctly. You state, and this is a quote from Secretary Rubio, our rights come from God, our Creator, not from our laws, not from our governments. I find that very, very troubling. I'm a devout person. I was a missionary in Honduras. We've got other devout folks in this room, Christian, Jewish, Muslim, American. The notion that rights don't come from laws and don't come from the government, but come from the Creator, that's what the Iranian government believes. It's a theocratic regime that bases its rule on Shia law and targets Sunnis, Baha'is, Jews, Christians, and other religious minorities. And they do it because they believe that they understand what natural rights are from their Creator. So the statement that our rights do not come from our laws or our governments is extremely troubling.
Mr. Barnes, I'd actually like to go back to the exchange you had with Senator Kaine, and I wish Senator Kaine was still here. Senator Kaine and I were elected together 13 years ago. He is a friend. I would actually encourage observers to go back and listen to what Senator Kaine said, because I have to say I think was disturbing and showed much of where today's Democrat Party has gone wrong. So Senator Kaine said in this hearing that he found it a radical and dangerous notion that you would say our rights came from God and not from government. I just walked into the hearing as he was saying that, and I almost fell out of my chair. Because that radical and dangerous notion, in his words, is literally the founding principle upon which the United States of America was created. And if you do not believe me, and you made reference to this, Mr. Barnes, then you can believe perhaps the most prominent Virginian to ever serve, Thomas Jefferson, who wrote in the Declaration of Independence, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator." Not by government, not by the Democratic National Committee, but by God, with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I have to say it is stunning to me that the principle that God has given us natural rights is now deemed by Democrats some radical and dangerous notion. Mr. Jefferson was right when he wrote those words. Government exists to protect those rights. But slavery was not okay when U.S. law allowed it. It was wrong then. It is wrong now. It is always wrong.
There you have it.
Listen, by the way, Abraham Lincoln, who won the presidency, in part in his because of his hostility towards slavery. The Republican Party itself was founded a few years before Lincoln won the presidency in 1860 on the basis of an abolitionist platform. We got to get rid of slavery. By the way, it was also established, the Republican Party, against polygamy. Those two things. And Abraham Lincoln, for the time he was leading this country during the Civil War, based his arguments against slavery on this statement in the Declaration of Independence. You can, this is very easy to find for Senator Kaine, if he was at all interested, to find out that the exactly as Senator Cruz is saying, the battle against slavery and the overturning of laws that supported slavery was based on the principles of the Declaration of Independence. And let me tell you, Senator Kaine ought to be ashamed of himself. He's not. But the Democratic Party, to Ted Cruz's point, has become an anti-God party. This is over the last 50 years or so, to the point where they believe the government is the one who gives you the rights. Well, as has been popularly said for decades now, and probably since the founding, if the government gives you your rights, the government can take away your rights. And we saw that for 4 years under Joe Biden as president. We have another story we'll deal with later on in the program, if we can get to it, in terms of what the Trump administration is finding out in terms of anti-Christian bigotry within the Biden administration. Listen, as Tim has said, this is our culture war in this country is at its heart a war about God. And the Democratic Party hates them, and they're doing everything they can to try to scrub out the biblical principles undergirding this country. And if God has mercy on our nation, they will fail utterly.
And Senator Kaine, who, by the way, was Hillary Clinton's VP running mate.
Yes. That's true.
In 2016. Right. So he's very, very well established leader in the Democrat Party, and former governor, as you said, of Virginia. But of all people, him from Virginia should know better than to say what he said. He's conflating issues, I think probably intentionally so, there by saying, hey, this is like a theocracy
right
in the Middle East. That's what you're proposing, talking to the witness there. Who was the fellow who was testifying?
It was Barnes, and he's the nominee for a position in government. So this was
a hearing about his nomination.
Yes.
Okay. So Kaine's intentionally trying to scare people by saying, "Hey, this Republican nominee here, these people are for a theocracy."
Well, can I also add to this discussion the fact that Senator Kaine wanted to point out what Islam believes and what they do in Islamic countries.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Is kind of to the point, because the liberties we enjoy in this country and throughout the West are because of Christianity.
Right.
Not because of Islam, not because of Buddhism or Hinduism.
Good point.
So he, in a strange backhanded way,
right,
strengthened the argument that you cannot have liberty in Western countries without Christianity.
Right.
Now, that does not mean that we tell everyone they have to be baptized.
Right.
And you got to convert from Islam. In fact, the religious liberty we enjoy in this country is precisely because the founders believed that the right to conscience and the right to freedom of religion was a gift from God.
Yeah.
And government should protect that.
Yeah. And Christianity allows the Christianity you're referring to that influenced early American law and history and our founding fathers and so forth, that they cited the Christian religion often, that allows for freedom for other religions.
Yes.
But if you go to an Islamic country, for example, you don't have the freedom for other religions.
Yeah.
Typically, because they just don't allow for it. They would consider that to be promoting, you know, false religions,
right,
so forth. So if you want freedom and liberty, it's you're going to get it from Christian values.
Yeah. Right.
So. I agree. I was shocked that Senator Tim Kaine would compare the stand that Barnes is taking, Ted Cruz is taking,
right,
to the Islamic regime in Iran.
Right.
And he's likening what Jefferson said in writing the Declaration of Independence.
I know.
Right.
Do you think he was he's ignorant of this, or you think this is purposeful?
I think it's purposeful. Here's the reason. Not one Democrat, to the best of my knowledge, has condemned what Tim Kaine said last week.
Well, they believe it.
Yeah.
I'm convinced they believe it.
They use this to try to scare the general public. Okay? Sometimes it works. The Democrats, not all of them, but a lot of them, like Tim Kaine, they want to scare the general public into believing that the Republican Party, which is backed by a lot of people that are evangelical Christians, or they want to impose their religion, that being that they would say, I'm talking about Christians, on the rest of America, so that we do want. The reason they say this is, yes, the people like AFA and AFR, they do want forced baptisms. And you know, Christianity or
right.
that's what they want to scare the general public into believing about people like us.
And let me do just a little commercial here, folks. I'm gonna make a statement here. What Senator Tim Kaine said in articulating his hostility towards the Christian faith and his hostility towards the Declaration of Independence and our founders is part and parcel now a part of the progressive movement in this country. So here's what I meant by a commercial. If you go to resources.afa.net, that is where you can get all kinds of great resources that we provide, that God has given us the opportunity to, you know, to create videos and CDs and DVDs and written material. If you go to resources.afa.net and search for the word progressive, all right? Now, I say it's a commercial because this is something I did, I don't know, 10 years ago. A booklet, it's not that long. It was taken from a series of 6 articles, I think, that I wrote for the Stand magazine, our monthly magazine. And then we also followed that up with a DVD on the same material. It is called The Progressive Threat to the American Republic. Okay, so just go to resources.afa.net and search under the word progressive. And I don't know. I forget how much it doesn't cost much at all for both the booklet and the DVD. Folks, this, I did a lot of research on this. Abe Hamilton has done a lot of research on it. You hear him talk about these kinds of things quite a bit on his program. You would be shocked. All right, $7.50, Okay, I mean, we're talking, this is very reasonably priced. You would be shocked at what the progressive movement has said in its early formative years about the founders, about our republic, and about God. And you need to get armed for the truth. You can actually pick up the pamphlets, I don't know, five or six at a time. They come bundled for a very reasonable price. But go to resources.afa.net, resources.afa.net, and search for progressive. But this kind of ideology is either going to destroy America or it's going to destroy the Democratic Party, one or the other, because they are all in. You remember, I'm sorry, I get fired up about this, President Obama talking about the conservatives in this country, they cling to God and guns.
Yes.
Their Bibles, I think he said.
Yes, the Bibles.
Cling to their Bibles. This is the mentality of the now completely secular, anti-founders, anti-God Democratic Party.
Yeah. To your point, Ed, last week, the Task Force to Eradicate Anti-Christian Bias. This was something that was set up by President Trump shortly after coming back into office, and it was headed by Attorney General Pam Bondi. Fox News reported, they said they got a peek at this report last week, and it outlines examples of what the Biden administration did to Christians. For example, Christians praying outside abortion clinics, arrested. All right? And several other examples. We reported on the fines the Biden Justice Department leveled against Liberty University, $14 million. Grand Canyon University, $37.7 million. And of course, you know, since especially the Grand Canyon University fine, that was totally dropped last week because right. They did nothing wrong. Those are just two examples of this report. What is it about Christians? And what is it about the Democratic Party that they're now fighting any laws against shipping the abortion pills across state lines? Why are they so in on men playing in girls' sports?
Why are they drifting, and not just drifting now, speeding towards socialism?
Oh, yes.
We're probably going to have a socialist or communist mayor of New York City. It's because communism is antithetical to and hostile to God.
Yes. We're gonna deal with that story because Mamdani and Bernie Sanders were out on the weekend talking about this. Folks, you're going to want to listen to this. Talking about universal medical care, socialized medicine, all of these things, government-run grocery stores.
Right.
I don't know if you guys even need me.
No, I'm sorry. I should have let the
fine.
President have a say. I get fired up on this issue.
Yeah, no. Really?
I know it's shocking, isn't it?
You had it well. Monotone. You're so monotone.
I know.
Yeah.
It's
anyway,
Monday.
No.
It'll be a long week.
I just have everything you just said, Fred, and Fred said, I just say amen to. And all right, we'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
Finally, some good news. Over 38,000 babies saved and more than 4,000 commitments to Christ through the ministry of Preborn this year alone. Here's Dan Steiner, president of Preborn.
But if we can get a mom into one of our clinics and show her her baby, and she has that close encounter of the best kind in her womb, she will choose life.
Preborn's networks of clinics provide hope, love, free ultrasounds, and the gospel in action across America. This is Ed Vitagliano. Will you join Preborn and AFR as we rescue 70,000 babies' lives this year? For $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound and help save a baby's life. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or donate securely at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues.
Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. And I'm Tim with Ed and Fred, and we have a gallery from the Ingomar Baptist Church, right? And Ingomar Baptist Church, and we have a bunch of folks visiting with us. I don't think any of them are employed. huh?
You said right? They all look retired?
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of seniors visiting us here, and we love for folks to come and visit us here. The Ingomar Mississippi Baptist Church is visiting us with their roving retirees, right?
Is that what they call them?
That's what they call themselves, the roving retirees. So anyway, welcome to those folks. And if you want to visit us here in our studios, if you're local or if you're traveling from around the country, we have folks come in from all over the country who are traveling and want to stop and see our offices and our building and our studios and meet some of our staff. We welcome that. All you need to do is go. We have a lottery for this. And so you need to go. You have to enter like $20, something like that, and then you put your name
like,
in there.
Like if you're going elk hunting in Wyoming or something,
yeah.
You gotta get your name picked
out. You
gotta
get your name. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. How do they, if we do want to know if folks are coming by, right?
Absolutely. So you go to afa.net, and you look at the little list of drop-down menus at the top.
Yeah.
Go to where it says more, and a little drop-down menu will pop up, and you go down to visits. And you got to fill out a little form. We just got to make sure you're not running from the law. And
or if you are, we just want to know about it.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
So just go to afa.net, more, and then the drop-down menu has visits, and we'll get you started. Another reason is, too, we want to make sure there's people here. Sometimes on Friday afternoons, for example, might not be a lot of folks here. If you want to meet some of the people who are regularly on the air, you want to come at a time of the day and of the week when some of those folks will be available.
Did have an incident in a terrorist attack in Jerusalem this morning.
That right? is correct.
Or this morning, our time.
Yes. Some Palestinian terrorists, who, to be exact, attacked people who were waiting for a bus. They were at a bus stop there in Jerusalem.
A public bus.
Yes. And they opened fire, and six people died. Several people were injured. If you've been to Jerusalem, you've been to Israel, you know that it is not uncommon for people on the street to have guns. I'm talking about Jewish people who live there. And two people who were witness to this drew their guns, and they took out the bad guys right away.
Yeah, if you're in the military, active military, you carry your weapon with you all the time in Israel. It's pretty common for them to do that. But, yeah, that took place at, a public bus stop this morning in Jerusalem. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. What's your next story, Fred?
Well, Zoran Mamdani.
Who?
Zoran Mamdani.
Yes.
All right. If you don't know who that is, I think you're going to very shortly, because he is on the Democratic ticket to be the next mayor of New York. And if you believe all the polls, he is still way out in front. And so likely within a couple of months, the election there will be occurring in November. He will likely be the next mayor. To say that he is a far left, a socialist, is not an exaggeration. Self-declared. Well, he and his good friend, Senator Bernie Sanders, who is officially an independent, but he's really a radical Democrat.
And a self-identified socialist.
Yes. Bernie Sanders and Mamdani held a rally this weekend. Here's a little bit of what they had to say. Cut five.
Together we will freeze the... make buses fast and... deliver universal. We will freeze the. Make buses fast and. deliver universal?
They're afraid of Mr. Mamdani becoming an example to what can happen all over this country.
Now, if you couldn't hear, the crowd responded as Mamdani was cheering them on. They talked about universal medical care, free buses. Now, they didn't mention grocery stores, but
what
we've all...
Were they talking about freezing what?
Free buses.
Free buses.
Oh, okay.
The government's going to give you everything, Ed. You know, just hand it to you.
You need to free those buses. You know what I'm saying? That's what they were chanting.
Free the buses.
What he's talking about there is public transit, I think.
Yeah.
And so you have to pay a fee to ride the the subway or the public buses. I think he's talking about people need to get an out, use them free. Everything he's talking about, the free medical care, wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, yeah.
Everything these people, these socialists talk about, by socialists, I'm talking about these folks like him who think everything needs to be, paid for by taxes.
Yes.
Free social.
So it's not really free.
Not really free. It's just that it's paid for by taxation. And taxation is they're going to hit people who make money, right?
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see, because how many millionaires or how many people that are going to be hit with these heavy taxes when this guy gets in to be the mayor of New York City, how many of them are going to leave the city?
Yeah.
And I don't know, there used to be some kind of, maybe I'm dreaming this, some kind of rules where even if you left a place to escape high taxation, a retroactive, like a year or two or three, you could still be hit with taxes. In other words, they know what you're trying to do.
Yes.
By getting out of Dodge before the heavy taxes hit, and they can go back on you, they meaning like the city of New York, for example, and tax you as if you still live there. I've heard that.
Right.
Well, Gavin Newsom has talked about that. You know, you have so many people leaving California right now.
Yes.
We're going to go after them.
We're going to go after
them. Their company made their money here. We're going to go after them.
All right, listen, what you got going on in New York? Of course, New York's always been liberal. New York's always been Democrat. Well, I say always. They've been Democrat for the most part. You did have Rudolph Giuliani. You did have Michael Bloomberg. These were people who were mayors of the city of New York who were also Republicans. But it's very rare. They're basically a Democrat-run city. Now, but what you have is the people that are supporting the... you also have to consider this. We're talking New York City proper here, right, which is still, I don't know how many people, 5 million, something like that, proper. You have the greater New York area, which is going to be, you're going to run into probably 12 to 20 million people when you start talking about the greater New York area. So, but the mayor's office will only be elected by the citizens of New York City proper. Well,
8.5 million
that are New York City proper?
New York City proper.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, you got 18 million that are, if you type in greater New York metropolitan area population, and I know that's a lot. Of English there. But anyway, these people are very liberal. And
20 million.
20 million. Okay, I said 18. So it wouldn't surprise me if they vote this guy in. They really believe that you can offer free groceries. and you know what? I say go for it. If these people really believe this is the best way to tax everybody – to pay for all this stuff.
Well, you can give all this. This is a good news, bad news thing, Tim. You can give all this stuff free to people. That's the good news. The bad news is, as former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher famously said, the problem with socialism is that you eventually run out of other people's money.
Yeah. Right.
So you can give all this free stuff away.
He's also a soft on crime guy.
Yeah. But all that quote-unquote free stuff is coming from taxes,
yeah,
and eventually the well runs dry. And now you've made a bunch of people reliant on,
yeah,
on free stuff, and then what happens when the well runs dry?
You ever heard the expression, you can't tell those people nothing? You ever, yes, heard that? That's not good English, but it expresses
absolutely
the idea. And so, you know, let them go for it. The people in Chicago, they don't care that they got crime. I'm talking about the majority of citizens of Chicago don't care that they got violent crime running wild. They just want to vote for the next guy who is soft on crime. So I don't know what you do for people like that who don't care about their own self-interest.
You can't do anything for them. The book of Proverbs makes it clear that there are people who operate according to wisdom and there are people who are foolish. And I don't know how people in Chicago, for example, continue to vote. They voted out they vote out one lefty.
Oh yeah, what was her name?
I it'll come to me. Something Foot.
No, it was Lightfoot.
Was her foot in both?
Lightfoot. Was it Lightfoot?
Yeah, her name.
Lori Lightfoot?
I think that was her name, okay. Lori Lightfoot.
All right.
Once upon a time, there was a mayor named Lori Lightfoot. She lived in Chicago.
And they voted Lori Lightfoot.
Yeah.
And we got the thumbs up from Brett Creeley, our producer. They voted her out, and then they voted someone even more liberal.
That's what I'm saying.
So
So yeah, how do you feel sorry for people like that? You know, you go, you're voting against your own self-interest, but I guess they don't care. They don't care. So that's when Trump,
care when they get carjacked, but up to that point they don't.
Yeah.
Well, and the larger question now is, which is why Bernie Sanders is there with Mamdani. Bernie Sanders.
How far did Bernie Sanders walk, by the way? Was this a walk?
Was it a march? No, there was a rally of some kind.
Okay.
All right. Now, Bernie Sanders, we can laugh at him sometimes, and we call him, you know, the radical leftist.
Yeah.
But Bernie Sanders really believes this is not about just New York. This is about the whole Democratic Party.
This is a movement.
This is a movement. Cut six.
Now, apropos of that question, I find it hard to understand how the major Democratic leaders in New York State are not supporting the Democratic candidate. One might think, that if a candidate starting at 2% in the polls gets 50,000 volunteers, creates enormous excitement, gets young people involved in the political process, gets non-traditional voters to vote, Democratic leaders would be jumping up and down. This is our guy. So we got another fight on our hands, and that is the future of the Democratic Party.
You know, after listening to Bernie Sanders, though, one thing I'd like to say is I don't want to hear people ever make fun of Southern accents again. I can hardly understand this fella here.
I'm just going to say he is a complete hypocrite, Bernie Sanders, because he had an opportunity during the primary season of 2020, leading up to the 2020 election.
Yeah.
He had an opportunity to take the Democratic Party in a socialist direction, stand up for his values, but instead he allowed himself to be bought off by the Democratic Party establishment when he dropped out and got behind Joe Biden.
That's true. The establishment.
The establishment. So I don't want to hear I have no choice since we just played him, but I don't want to hear from Bernie Sanders about the Democratic Party, you know, sticking to its principles and going with the guy. Everything he just said about Mamdani was true about Bernie Sanders in 2020.
Yeah.
Remember he had all these young people and all the, you know, this movement, and he allowed himself to be bought off.
Yeah. All right. Next story, Fred. What's your next story?
All right. Well, meanwhile, President Trump.
Back in Gotham City.
Gotham City. Meanwhile, is Chicago Gotham kind of like Gotham City?
New York's Gotham City, right? Yeah. That was the model for Gotham City.
I think they're in a fight, though, for each other. Chicago, who can go further to the left? And Trump is a favorite target of those leftists. But he's talking about, now, you know, we've heard from the mayor of Chicago, Johnson. We've heard from the governor of Illinois. They don't want Donald Trump to send soldiers into Chicago to deal with the crime. By the way, 6 murders in Chicago this past weekend and about a dozen other people wounded. All right?
It's probably a light weekend.
Yeah, but the governor and the mayor say everything's okay. We got everything under control. But Trump now, like he did in Los Angeles back about a month or so ago, is poised, apparently, to send in ICE agents to deal with illegals because Trump believes, and rightly so, that many illegal immigrants are part of the crime problem. Here's cut number one of Trump talking about immigration in Chicago.
We're not going to war. We're going to clean up our cities. We're going to clean them up so they don't kill 5 people every weekend. That's not war. That's common sense.
Well, Tom Homan, his border czar, who is taking on the fight of dealing with the millions of illegals in this country, he says much the same thing. Yeah, we're going to go into Chicago like we have gone into other cities to deal with the number of illegal immigrants. Cut number two.
Should we expect action in Chicago this week?
Absolutely. You can expect action in most sanctuary cities across the country. We're going to war with the criminal cartels. We're going to war with illegal aliens, public safety threats that raped children, that raped citizens, that committed armed robberies, that distribute narcotics that kill Americans.
So there you have it. We're probably going to have a confrontation. There was a huge demonstration against Trump sending in any soldiers / ICE agents. Huge demonstration on the weekend. But I think it's coming. There's going to be a confrontation.
Well, and these are two different things. And the left and the media, to some extent, are conflating these two things. And those two things are the National Guard, on the one hand, or ICE agents, on the other, looking for people in these sanctuary cities who are here illegally. There are still constitutional, other legal questions about President Trump's authority to send in the National Guard without any ask on the part of a governor of a state or the mayor of a city. That's still kind of up in the air as to what the president can do. But he's absolutely on legal ground to send in ICE. Mm. And a mayor of a city or a governor have absolutely nothing to say about that. If there are people breaking federal law, ICE has the legal right, constitutional right, to go into these cities. So those are two kind of separate issues, but the left tries to conflate them to make it look like ICE is the military coming in to these cities. It's not. These are duly authorized federal agents. It's like the FBI.
Yeah.
So.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Yeah. Speaking of soft on crime cities, which are almost all the big cities, with very few exceptions, because they all vote Democrat. And Democrats are soft on crime. Did you guys see the video? It's hard to even talk about. There's a video. Remember the story about a few weeks ago?
August 22nd.
Okay. Yeah. August 22nd. Three weeks ago, there was a story out of Charlotte, mm-hmm. North Carolina, and there was a young Ukrainian girl who was on a bus, public bus, I think, and she was attacked by a guy, and he murdered her with a pocket knife.
Yeah.
Do you remember seeing this story?
Oh yeah.
This over the weekend. You're talking about the video that was released?
Yes, the video.
Now that was recent though, right? The release of the video.
Yeah, yesterday.
Yeah. Yes.
But anyway, it's horrific to watch. They don't show the actual murder on that video, but they do have that on video because it was a camera on the bus. But the guy who killed her, murdered her, was like, had been in and out of jail like 14 times. Fred, do you have his rap sheet there in front of you?
I don't have his rap sheet, but you're right. He has been in and out of the legal system 14 times.
Did you see the video? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I saw the video, yes.
Okay, well, because this young lady, as it turns out, was a Ukrainian
Was she an immigrant or was she?
She had just fled to this country.
Okay.
To get away from the violence in Ukraine.
Because of the war.
Yes. She was on this transit. I think they have a transit train there in Charlotte. She was, I think, just got off work. She was sitting in front of this guy. She was looking at her cell phone, scrolling through her cell phone.
That's another issue I want to talk about, but go ahead.
Yes. The guy is sitting behind her. He just gets up and he proceeds to kill this young woman. Yeah. He has been in and out of the legal system.
Yeah, I've got his rap sheet here. This is DeCarlos Brown.
DeCarlos
Brown.
Man
who's accused. We do say accused, but he's on video.
Doing
this heinous act. Records obtained by the New York Post showed that Brown has a history of arrests going back more than a decade, including charges of felony larceny, robbery with a dangerous weapon, and communicating threats. So he's got a long, rap.
My question to you, Ed, is I don't know if there's an answer to this or not, or a provable answer to this, but and we all read about this in our newspapers and see it on our local TV channels. This is not necessarily just a blue state problem. And that is, why do these violent criminals get put back out on the streets so easily? This guy right here who murdered this girl, he had 14 arrests. Isn't that what you just said? Now, I don't know what they all were for.
I don't know. I've heard the number 14. This is what I saw was more than a decade, including charges of felony larceny, robbery with a dangerous weapon, communicating threats. I don't know the number. You may have seen that. Actually,
I think
somewhere.
I did see 14 arrests. Yeah. I did see that.
So
this happens all the time. And you just go, why are these people out back on the street? Now this young lady's dead. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I'm going to answer that question. And then Fred has something that people are saying in defending this guy, if you can believe it. But what seems to be happening in these big cities is they blame society for producing the criminals. They have lenient district attorneys, many of whom have been elected in recent election cycles, funded by George Soros, who wants to bypass Congress and make quote-unquote changes on the local level. So these are district attorneys who will not charge people or go for maximum sentences. They are frequently
go for maximum sentences.
Yes, on people who are arrested.
Oh, you mean they will not go?
They will not. The district attorneys will not.
They're supposed to be representing the public and prosecuting the crime.
Yes.
And you're saying they don't care.
They think the criminals are actually the victims of racism.
This is the fox guarding the chicken coop, so
yes,
to speak. Okay.
And then you've got maybe judges who are not giving long sentences. They go, these people, even when they're convicted, a lot of times they get a 7-year sentence, but they're released after a year.
Why is that? That's what I want to know the answer to.
It is the soft on crime ideology of the left that governs these blue cities.
But it even happens in red states. I'm just saying, I read the Tupelo, Mississippi news, and I see the same type thing where I'm going like, this guy killed this person and he's been arrested 17 times. And you're going like, how is he out of prison? How is he out of jail? That's my question.
Well, the philosophy seems to be, and in this case in Charlotte, there was actually a GoFundMe account set up, not for the girl, but for the guy who's now charged.
DeCarlos Brown.
DeCarlos Brown.
There was a GoFundMe. Now, fortunately, GoFundMe has taken this down.
Yes, but speak to the mentality of the people who were giving to this GoFundMe.
Because they called him a victim.
Yes.
He's a victim of the system. And that's to your
point. What do they mean by that?
Well, somehow, here's a scenario.
Yeah, tell me the thinking.
They grew up in poverty, and they didn't have the breaks that other people had.
And that turned them to a life of crime.
Yes, that turned them to drugs. See, it's not his fault. He turned to drugs because grew up poor, broken family, all that sort. So the perpetrator of the crime becomes the victim. Same thing happened on Friday. Jeanine Pirro, who is now the U.S. District Attorney in D.C., they announced the arrest of two kids who've already, yes, broken other laws. Two kids.
In Washington, D.C.
In Washington, D.C. for the murder of that intern.
Yeah.
In the summer.
Yeah.
She calls them thugs.
Yeah.
Because immediately the media started to say, well, these kids are victims. You can't treat them like adults. She said, no, I'm charging them with murder.
And they're 17-year-olds, and people are defending them, saying they should not be charged as adults.
Yeah.
But Pirro, thankfully, saying, no, that's old enough to know better.
Yes.
You're going to be charged as adults.
Yes.
All right. We're going to take a time out right here. We will be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.